If you remember a couple of weeks ago, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, I just want to briefly recap on that very quickly. And before we do that, though, I'd like us to start in the book of John. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And it's that occasion when early in Jesus' ministry, where he's teaching Nicodemus, who was one of the religious leaders of the time. And it tells us in John 3, verse 1, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night," so he's doing it secretively because he didn't want to get caught out. "He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So born again is being born of water and the Spirit. Born of water talks about water baptism. Born of the Spirit is about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was talking about that last time. And the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and immediately all those that were present, first thing was it looked like they got flames on the head, which must have been really strange. But the next thing is they began to speak in unknown tongues, languages. And that first outpouring of the Holy Spirit that then led to lots and lots of other actions, consequences, Spirit-led things. Particularly, it was Peter who stood up and explained to everybody what was going on. He said, "These fellows aren't drunk, okay? What you hear now is the Holy Spirit speaking through them." And he then spoke to the crowd that were gathered, because it caused quite a ruckus, all this happening. And he spoke to them so eloquently, so powerfully, so out of character for him in the natural, that 3,000 people believed what he said. And they came to believe in Jesus. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit in Peter. And that same power is available now. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. That gift of the Holy Spirit is available now. And what we need to do is make sure that, firstly, we can't earn it, so we don't try for it that way. It's already been given. That we've got to make sure that we've repented, and then make sure that we're hungry for that. We've got a thirst for it. Jesus tells us we have to, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by that he meant his Holy Spirit. It's available. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't panic. Okay, desire it, thirst for it, hunger for it. But most importantly, it's just like those apostles in the upper room. Jesus said to them, "Wait, wait, wait." And he didn't say how long. He didn't say wait for a day, wait for 2 days. He just said wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So don't panic. It's there, it's available. But Holy Spirit baptism, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the first evidences is that you will speak in tongues. Right? There are other things that happen. There are other gifts of the Spirit. Okay, there are other fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are wonderful. I've mentioned them before, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I've lost one. There's 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness and self-control. Thank you. Thank you. Memory is not one of them. No. Okay, but anyway, they're character traits that God wants us to develop. And that, more than anything, one of the speakers, Colin Cooper, you've all heard, was saying that sometimes we get the balance wrong. We think more about the gifts than the fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. God wants character first. He wants us to be in the right place ourselves before we do anything else. So perhaps they've not had quite the right balance. But the gifts of the Spirit are there. The fruit of the Spirit are there. They're available for all of us. Once we've repented and once we believe in you and just wait upon those gifts. That baptism of the Spirit, I think as I finished last night, it's only the beginning. It's not an end in itself, it's a beginning. It's a gateway. It's the start. That evidence of receiving the Spirit, it opens the way to the fruit of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts. And that idea of fruit only grows when it's connected to the roots. Right? So we need to stay connected in all those things. But what I want to read about today are those spiritual gifts. And we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Now, all these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, and others that wrote as well, they were written thousands of years ago. And some people say, well, that was then, this is now. But these are eternal truths that stand forever. Now, there may be some tiny little cultural differences, clothing, that sort of thing. But essentially, if we believe that this is the Word of God, that stands now. And so even though he was speaking here to the church in Corinth, it still applies to us today. And that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. That's why it's the most printed book ever, 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 by millions, hundreds of millions. There's been billions of these printed in different languages. We can live by this. It is life to us. It is life to us. But the gifts of the Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. That's a cut-off point. If you can't admit that Jesus is Lord, then you're not led by the Holy Spirit. If you struggle to say it, can't really say that, then that's a danger sign. Okay. But then it talks about the gifts. There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And here we talk about the gifts. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, we've just prayed for Coral for healing. Right? Not what we've done. We've prayed, Holy Spirit, heal Coral's knees. Right? And you know, we have faith to believe that. Okay, she's going to dance around in a minute. Oh, it would be great if she did. No, no, don't try it, please. Okay. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So sometimes we think the coming of Jesus' birth is the most important thing in the Bible. Sometimes we think actually the resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing in the Bible. But arguably, the coming of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in the Bible, because that's what we're living in now. The Holy Spirit is here now. The Spirit of God is here now and is available to lead us, to guide us in all truth, it tells us. But these nine gifts that are available, they split into three distinct areas. There's one area that's gifts of revelation, they're often called. Gifts of the mind or gifts of the revelation. And those ones are the gift of that wisdom, It's actually the knowledge, it's a word of wisdom or a message of wisdom. It's not wisdom, as in you will be forever wise. It doesn't work like that. It's wisdom for that moment in time. Yeah. Gift of knowledge. Again, it's knowledge above and beyond normal knowledge. We've all got knowledge. Right? Some of us will have more knowledge than others. But it's not that knowledge. It's something, knowledge that you wouldn't know otherwise. Later on, maybe next week, I can talk about some examples of those. And discernment of spirit, or distinguishing between spirits. They're the three gifts of revelation, where things are revealed to you. Oh, that's this. It just happens. We don't know why. It's the Spirit of God speaking into our lives. And suddenly you think, oh, I know that. I understand that. I do. And sometimes it can be just simply reading the Word of God. That revelation through the Holy Spirit can come to it. Sometimes it's with somebody when you're praying with them. So that revelation can come. The next three sets of gifts are gifts of power. Gifts of power. We're told we can lay hands on people and in Jesus' name ask for them to be healed. So gifts of healing. Gifts of miracles. Right? Miracles that aren't finished with. We hear of them around the world, particularly in the less developed nations. Right? Perhaps where their faith is stronger. But we do it here, we're perhaps a bit too comfortable. And faith above and beyond what we call, you know, I believe that's faith, but this is faith for things to really happen, things that wouldn't happen normally. Faith to believe that healing will take place, faith to believe that miracles will take place, that faith. And then the third group is gifts of utterance, what we actually speak them. Gifts of utterance. One is prophecy, which is speaking the word of God, speaking the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, a message from God. One is tongues, which is speaking in these strange languages. That's probably the least of the gifts. Right. And the other one is interpretation of tongues, which is better. If you can interpret what somebody says, that's better, because then everybody else can understand. If you speak in tongues, nobody else can understand it. It's drivel. It sounds like drivel. All that's for is for you. It helps me. If I speak in tongues, I think, yeah, I know I'm speaking direct to God. Nobody else has got a clue what I'm saying. It's quite good at home sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, so these are the spiritual gifts. We've got natural gifts, obviously. We've all got natural gifts that we've been blessed with. Some of us have been blessed with cheerfulness. Some are artistic. Some have got abilities. Some people are athletic. Some people are happy. Some people are cheerful. Some people are eloquent. All these natural gifts are over and above as well. But these particular gifts, the spiritual gifts, they display themselves, manifest themselves, I think the Bible says, as the Spirit allows it to happen. We can't control it. The Spirit will give us those gifts, one if we seek it, but the different gifts that they're given by the same Spirit, it says in 12:4, there are different gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, and they are given for one purpose only. One purpose only. And that purpose is verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's not for ourselves, it's for other people. It's to build other people up. It's to encourage other people, for other believers, non-believers. Right? So, when I've read that, I thought, well, what is the common good? What is good for all of us? And I've also been reading quite a few other things about it. But one of the things is we've got to pass the knowledge of salvation on, evangelism. We've got to pass that on. We've got to understand, once we realise who Jesus is, we don't keep it for ourselves. We need to pass it on. And one example, there are quite a few in the Bible, but there are quite a few outside the Bible since then. But one example was Peter's revelation. Now, I see it as the start of evangelism. When Jesus was asking Peter in Matthew 16, if you turn with me to Matthew 16, very famous, it's Peter's confession of Christ. Jesus was asking Peter, who do you say I am? And in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, nobody told him that. Jesus hadn't said who he was. So Jesus said to him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That purpose of the church is to pass on that knowledge that Jesus is Christ, that he is the one who will save us. He is the Messiah. He is the one that can bring us back into righteousness with God. And that's what one of the major purposes of the church. We've got to pass it on. And as Jesus says, I will build my church on this. And this revelation that you've understood from God, direct, through the Holy Spirit. So, you are Peter. I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's built on that one thing. Now, from then on, we see Peter doing marvellous bits of evangelism. I've already mentioned that one, where 3,000 were saved. But then, not long after, he spoke again, and another 5,000 were added. Yeah, that's a quarter of the population of Thetford in a few days. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Not a bad bit of evangelism, anyway. But, so, those gifts of the Spirit are for us to help us to evangelize. Now, we're not all evangelists. I find it very difficult to go out and spread the gospel on the street. I don't, one-to-one, much easier. And if you have a relationship with people, it's much easier. But to spread it is harder. But it's not just for evangelism. It's for us. It helps us. When we see the gifts of the Spirit in action, it, not only will it be a witness to other people, it can actually help us and strengthen our belief. The gifts themselves are witnesses. They lead us towards that belief. And when I first came into this church many, many years ago, and I heard people speaking in tongues, then somebody would stand up and interpret it. It's strange. And I thought, what on earth's going on here? But that person who's interpreting, you just knew it actually wasn't them. They were, with the best will in the world, so they're actually speaking way above what they would normally, a level above what they would normally do. And you thought, this is different, and you go with it. And then I've heard prophecies coming in, and then I've seen healings taking. I've been healed through my neck, my back, when I've had people laid hands, and I know I've been healed at that time. And so you see these in action, these gifts in action, and they actually are a witness to you. It testified to me. And in Hebrews 2:4, it says, God also testified to it, and this is salvation he's talking about. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. They're there as a witness as well. It's not just to heal somebody. When somebody witnesses that healing, whoa, what's happened here? This is above and beyond normal. This is God in action. And those gifts of the Spirit, gifts of knowledge, wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, they all testify to other people. They are above normal, supernatural, that's all that means, supernatural, above normal. But they give that real enabling of God through his Holy Spirit that testifies to his salvation. Right? And that salvation has been bought and brought to us, but bought through Jesus Christ. So that Spirit enables us to evangelize, but it also witnesses it in its own right. So it empowers us personally, but the actual gifts will also testify to other people. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not only for new people, it's not only to encourage new people, for people who believe already, it testifies to them. It consolidates, it secures our faith. It says, actually, yeah, this is God in action. This almighty God that we talk about is in action. The Apostle Paul, speaking in Romans, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. The purpose, one of the purposes of these gifts is to build up, to encourage, to establish us as individuals, as a church, when we see these gifts in action. And then another main purpose is edification. It's a word we don't use very much. Edification is similar to establish, but it's to encourage, to build up, to inspire, to motivate, to comfort, to give security to. All of this is edification. And in 1 Corinthians 14:26, the Apostle Paul was talking again later on in the same chapter to the church in Corinth. And he says there, he says, "What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation." Paul was quite quick to stress that these don't just all happen at the same time. It'd be chaos. If somebody stands up to give a word in tongues, fine. But don't do it unless somebody's going to interpret it, or else it's a waste of space. Right? And only two or three messages. If there's a prophecy given, two or three at a time, no more. Okay? We don't want everybody jumping up and shouting about. And Paul's very clear of that, because as he says in verse 33, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." But the main thing is a word of instruction, revelation, tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church, for the people, and for us individually, but also to build our faith and develop our maturity. So, in summary, the purpose of those three, the gifts of the Spirit, can be those three E's: evangelism, to establish us, and for edification. Okay. Right. So it builds us up, makes us stronger, and we can evangelize to other people. That's how the gifts. So the big question comes, how do you get those gifts? They're all good gifts. God doesn't give anything else. How do we receive them? Well, these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, as it says, as he wills. And all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. That's 1 Corinthians 12:11. Yeah, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. We can't earn them. We can't. They're gifted by God, by his grace. But we can seek them, desire them. Right. These are spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. So we need to stay full of the Holy Spirit. And then they will be distributed according to his will. We can't dictate it. Okay? But what we can do is get our hearts and minds in the right place. And that's what we have to do. We have to have the right motive, first of all. We can't just say, "Oh, I wish I could do that." Not the right motive. Not the right motive. Simon the sorcerer wanted to do that. Not the right motive. He even offered the apostles money. He says, if you can make me do that, I'll pay you for it. And they said, "No. Go away." A bit more than that, they said. We need to know what our motive is. What is the purpose of these gifts? And they're not for us. It's not for selfish ambition. It's for the common good. So if it's not going to help people to evangelize, to establish them, to build them up, they will not be given. And the Holy Spirit will determine what is best. What do we need at the time? Do you need a word of knowledge? Do you need a word? You know, in this situation, he will determine. He will determine. So we have to have the right motive, but we also have to have the right attitude. And in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it does say, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." Now, some people don't want them. Some people, lots of Christians around the world say, "Oh, I don't like this Holy Spirit stuff. I don't want to touch that." But we're told to desire them. Covet these gifts. Now, I know the 10th commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet." Right? So you think, well, how can we want something that then we're told not to do this? There's a big difference, I believe, between the natural and the spiritual, between earthly and heavenly things. If we spend all our time thinking, "Oh, I wish I could have this car." I saw some nice cars yesterday, by the way. We're in London, watching these Lamborghinis and things go past on the street. Because we went down to see our daughter and her husband, and they're in a part of London where there's lots of these really nice cars. And you think, "Oh, I'd like one of those." Then I think, "No, I don't really." not that important. As long as I get home, I don't care. But he says, thou shalt not covet. But how can we desire these gifts? As I say, because they're spiritual gifts to build up the kingdom. So, yeah, want them. By all means, want them. Go for it. Okay, wait for it and go for it. Not earthly things, because if we cover earthly things, then we start to idolize those things and it becomes a focus, and it shouldn't be. That's one of the things we need to chop off. And then 1 Corinthians 14:12 backs it up. It says, so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. Okay? So we need to have the right motive, the right attitude, but also we need to do things about it. Right? We need to pray for these gifts. Jesus tells us if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, and we have to have faith to believe them. Now, when I read this first time, I thought, wow. And it's Mark 16. So if you could turn with me to Mark 16. It's just verses 17 and 18. And it's after Jesus has been to the cross, after his resurrection. It's the very last chapter in Mark, verse 17 and 18. It says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Now, I've already mentioned this, but a big word of warning. Please, please, please do not go picking up snakes. Don't drink deadly poison, because the word also tells us do not put the Lord your God to the test. But if you happened to get bitten by a snake, which thankfully there aren't many of in this country, then according to this, we'll be okay. But I'd still get medical help straight away. But avoid snakes, please. Avoid snakes. And don't drink deadly poison. Okay? But all those things, it's they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. It's definite. They will. It's not, they might get well, they might not. They will. They will. We have to have that faith. We have to put our gift into action. And do it. Literally do it. Don't sit around. I don't mean these nasty carrot, but when I saw you were in discomfort, I thought, I can't stand here and watch. We've got to do something about it. Do something about it there and then. Put that gift into action. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. So these nine aren't just the only gifts. There are others. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Do it. Do it. So he's saying, do it now. If it's leadership, do it. If it's mercy, do it. If it's teaching, teach. Right? If it's serving, serve. Don't not use that gift. Do it. Put it into action. Have faith. And I've just got a big asterisk here about a warning. It says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not put out or quench the Spirit's fire. And Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve, which means upset or cause grief or cause to turn away, the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We can easily get out of sync, out of step. We're told to stay in step with the Spirit. We can easily get out of step. If we get a bit selfish, if we say things that we're not supposed to say, if we get angry, bitterness, rage, anger, deception, slander, malice, all of those, the Holy Spirit, he will leave you because it's not good. Okay? But we need that Holy Spirit in us. And so if we need the Holy Spirit, if we need to be filled by the Spirit, how do we know we're being? Sometimes when I was first baptized 18th of January in the Holy Spirit, there's lots of questions come into your mind. Why? What good is this? What purpose is this? What's the evidence? what does it mean to me at this time? Because you're quite selfish in those days. Still are to a certain extent. But what evidence is it? Well, the first evidence is I spoke in tongues for the first time. I've been trying for ages. But then I couldn't stop. Just rattled off and non-stop. And so for quite a long time I was speaking a language I didn't understand. But I just knew it was a direct line to God. Right? And even now, if I don't know what to pray, I'll pray in tongues. Because it's my spirit and God's spirit, if they link together, brilliant. Okay. And sometimes it gets interpreted, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, but tongues is that one. And that's for us personally, speaking in tongues. But the main thing that happens in our lives, we're totally changed. If you're filled by the Spirit, you will be changed. You cannot help but be changed. You will speak in tongues, that's one. But your attitudes will change. Your attitude to the world around you will change. Your attitude to the Bible, to the Word of God will change. And your attitude to worship. Now, I was smiling to myself here because I was singing away this morning. If you'd have known me before I was saved, would I sing? No. I've heard myself, so no, I wouldn't. But now, I'm singing because I know I'm singing to God. I'm singing to God. So my attitude to worship has totally changed. I still wouldn't do it on my, in front of people, but the other thing we'll do, we witness to the world. That's a big difference. We do witness to, by our actions, by what we say, we are witnesses. So I've already mentioned tongues, and I'll look at the gifts another time. But our attitude to the world changes. John 14:17 says that the world cannot accept him. It's talking about Jesus, but it's also talking about the Holy Spirit. Because it neither sees nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Big difference. We're called out of the world. I was mentioning this to my son-in-law yesterday. Didn't mean to, but it was just the right time to say it. That we're called ecclesia, which means called out. We're called out of the world. We have a different attitude, a different perspective on the world, and we are. John 15:19 says, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's Jesus. He says, I have chosen you out of the world. We've got a different mindset. It's not set on worldly things. We're in the world, but we're not set on worldly things. But instead, we're set on heavenly things. It's not temporal, but eternal. We haven't got this 70 years, 80 years, whatever it is. There's a lot more. And we need to fix our minds on that. And we're warned, 1 John 2:15-16 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. That's where this axe to the root comes in. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Lives forever. And I'd just like us to read Galatians 5:16-26, I think. And in 16 it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. We're born with a sinful nature, I'm afraid. If you look at babies, they're very, very, very selfish. Little Timothy is brilliant, but he wants food, he wants sleep, he wants changing, he wants entertainment, and it's brilliant. He's lovely. He's got a big smiley face, but he's very selfish. But I know somebody was in their element one day when you were looking after him. I haven't seen him like that for many years. Yeah. Oh, got all broody, didn't you? Yeah. He's very smiley, I know. He cries when he wants something. Yeah, and that's it. But that nature is in us. And nothing wrong with it. That's just the way we are. But the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Then it continues with the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then we get onto the fruit again. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We give up the ways of the world and develop. We're called to be led by and live by the Holy Spirit. And as it says there, if we keep in step with the Spirit, we will bear fruit. And that fruit it's talking about in particular there is those characteristics that nobody can argue against. They're all good. They're brilliant. Who doesn't want somebody who's loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, generous, all these things? Who doesn't want somebody like that or to be like that themselves? They're all good. We are transformed bit by bit. Right? It doesn't happen quickly. We're transformed bit by bit. And I think, as I said earlier, God wants our character to be changed more than anything else. Okay? So our attitude to the world changes. What we used to do formerly, we don't do anymore. Right? And I say, it's not necessarily a quick process. It takes time as we are transformed from one degree of glory into another. But then our attitude to the Bible, our attitude to the Word of God also changes. You fall in love with this again. Right? If you haven't fallen in love with the Bible yet, fall in love again. Start again. Listen to it, read it, whatever. We've no excuse in this modern day. There are so many Bible things available. I've got an app on my phone. I can just key it in. It's there. It's ready to it. I've got CDs in the car. I said CD. It's a CD. Not DVD, I'll get them all mixed up. CD's in the car. The voice of Hercule Poirot, what's his name? John Suchet, reading the Bible to me. And it's brilliant. And it's sinking in all the time. And the more you do it, the more you come back to it. And it reveals, every day, things are revealed to me. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, not only do you fall, but the Scriptures come alive. John 16:13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And there's that famous quote in 2 Timothy 3:16 about all Scripture being God-breathed. I don't have to look that up because it's written here, right at the front here. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's there for us. Jesus, straight after he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, he went off into the wilderness. And there, Satan tempted him. And he tempted him. But every time, Jesus said to him, no, it is written, he said. It is written, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. It is written that you shall not live by bread alone. Okay? He answered with Scripture. It's there. The answer's there. It's in there somewhere, always, the answer to all those things. Matthew 4:4, he says, man doesn't live by bread alone. When Satan said to him, oh, you must be hungry. 40 days, no food, no water. Just turn these stones into bread and have a good feast on it. He said, no. He said, man does not live by bread alone. On bread alone, sorry. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Scripture, every word that comes from the mouth of God, and we live by that word. You get a new revelation into the Word of God, a new hunger, a new desire, as well as a new attitude to the world. You have a new attitude to the Word. Right? You also have a new attitude to worship. I've touched on it. I didn't used to like singing. I liked music, but I didn't like me doing it. But Psalm 103:1 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Do you get like that sometimes, where you just can't stop singing to God? Because he's so brilliant, he's so good, you're just carried away. We can't help but praise him for all that he's done, and all that he's done through Jesus, through his son Jesus Christ, all those things. That joy of salvation, We were singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, my chains are gone. That joy that we're saved spills over into praise and worship. Ephesians 5:18, it tells us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And so we've got no excuse. We can all do that. Even if you're tone deaf like me, we can all do it. We can sing it, sing along. We can listen. We've got everything there for us. In every situation, I won't read it, but in Acts 16:25, the Apostle Paul and Silas had been beaten, thrown into prison, shackled. And in that situation, you'd think these fellows must have been pretty desperate, pretty down. And what did they do? They sang. They sang hymns to the Lord. And they were worshipping, they were glorifying, they were magnifying the Lord. What a witness that was to the other prisoners that were there. Okay? They didn't get down, they sang. They sang. They brought, as it said in Hebrews 13, and it was one that was mentioned today, a sacrifice of praise. Giving praise and thanks to God. And worshipping, as Stella said, worshipping spirit and truth. Right? So what I've found now is that I join in. I don't sort of hide back and think, well, I'm not going to sing because I'm not very good at this. I join in, get stuck in. Right? Doesn't matter what I sound like. Right? And it really, really, really does build me up. Right? If I'm down at home, especially if Leslie's not there because I feel silly doing this, I have music and I'm dancing and singing and bouncing around. And within a few minutes, I feel great. Hoovering and dusting is not done, but I feel great. Not only does our attitude to the world change, our attitude to the word change, and our attitude to worship changes. Of them, perhaps most significant is that we witness. We become witnesses to the world. We're called to be witnesses. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples of all nations. Acts 1:8 says, you are my witnesses to the end of the earth. We're called to witness for Christ. He was crucified for our sins. He was resurrected from the dead. And it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And we can't fail but to let people know about it. Okay? We've got to let them know. We've got to lead people to Jesus. And we don't do it in our own strength. If we do, we'll struggle. We'll fail. But the Holy Spirit enables, equips us to be witnesses to all men. All men. Acts 4:31 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That was on that day, Acts 4, that's when there was 5,000 saved. So, coming to a close, the Holy Spirit, if we're filled by the Spirit, it enables us to be witnesses to the world. We have a changed attitude to the world. We have a changed attitude to word, the word of God. We have a changed attitude to worship and praise. But we lose it. This week I saw a lovely example, or we all saw it, we all went to the same one, a workshop where it was a glass of water, or a jug of water, and a glass of water, and filled up. It says, imagine this is the filling of the Holy Spirit. He says, yeah. He says, we're not called to be just filled with the Holy Spirit. And he got a great big bowl of water. He says, this is how we're called to be with the Holy Spirit. And he just dumped it all in. Totally submerged, totally immersed, not just topped up day to day, but unfortunately we leak it out because we're in the world. So we need to have that Holy Spirit filling every day. Every day. We were listening to people who have been preaching, teaching for years and years and years, and they know they haven't got it right. They're fantastic, but they say every day we need to repent again. We need to be washed clean again every day, and then we need to thirst and pray and seek the Holy Spirit. And we need to keep being filled if we're going to make disciples, if we're going to tell people of the risen Christ. If we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and our spirit, if we're called to put off the old self, the Bible tells us, and put on the new self, then we need to live by by the Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, our counselor, our enabler. It gives us boldness, gives us courage, gives the right words to say when we don't know what to say. Can distribute the gifts. We can prophesy. We can give a word of wisdom or knowledge. We can have great faith. We can discern between spirits. There's only three types of spirits in this world. There's our spirit in the natural. There's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and there are, unfortunately, demonic spirits that are at large in the world. And we need to make sure the right ones are working for us. We have to be very careful. And that's what that discernment of spirits is. It's recognizing evil from good. So we can do those things. We can have great faith, discernment of spirits. We can lay hands on, heal people in Jesus' name. We can perform miracles. I've never done that. Oh, I would like to do that. But that's the wrong motive. Okay? You see? That's where I'm sure some of that's going wrong. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the whole purpose behind all of these things is to lead us, encourage us to Jesus. That's all. Yeah? His love for us. We can be witnesses for him. We can lead others out of the world. But this is God's will. That we rejoice, we be thankful, we spread the gospel of Jesus, we build each other up, and unfortunately some people don't want to come out of this world. They're quite happy where they are, and that all we can do is try. It's not our job. The Holy Spirit will convict people, but we need to be able to be witnesses wherever we go. We need to be able to make disciples, and we're called to do that. But in our own strength we will fail. That if we've admitted we're sinners, if we believe in his name, if we call upon Jesus, then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to do all these things. So I'd just like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just fill us anew, we pray. Holy Spirit, daily we ask that you touch us anew. Father, forgive us when we get wrapped up in the things of this world. Lord, we know that you will provide for all the things that we need. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us all the equipment that we can be fulfilling your purpose. And your purpose is to love one another, to encourage one another, to build each other up, and to spread that news that saving grace is available for all people. We know it's your will that none should perish, that all should come to salvation. And so, Lord, as we see these end times around us, Lord, we just help us, Lord, just through your Spirit, help us to stand firm, stand strong, and be the people you would like us to be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.